Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
Thanks for having me here today. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. You guys have been walking through this whole semester, I believe, this series, right, called Simply Jesus, right? And you've been pursuing Jesus. You've been looking at how to follow Jesus and kind of what that looks like day in and day out. And I think for you guys as Bible college students, that looks different than the rest of the world, right? Like if you are just a normal everyday believer in Jesus, you go to church, you work a job, whether it's an electrician or whatever, your faith is part of your life, and it should be your whole life, but you have all these other things pulling you in other directions. But as a Bible college student and as somebody who wants to go into ministry, church, Jesus, this whole thing kind of represents a little bit different story in your life because it's going to be your job. It's going to be your life. It's going to be everything you do. You can't really separate it. I've been working in the church, I graduated 2017, so like 2018 till now. So what is that, 4 years, 5 years? And it's true. Like my wife, we met in 2018. We got married in 2020, and she really didn't know what she was getting herself into because you don't really get to separate your life from the church when you work in the church very often. But today, as we get started in this conversation, I have one question that I want to ask you guys. Well, multiple questions, but let's start with this one. I want to know, what are you passionate about? And I don't want like the typical Bible college answer of Jesus, because obviously like you're here. If you didn't love Jesus, you wouldn't be here. So we know that. Let's take that one off the table. So what else in your life, and it could be anything from sports to video games to hobbies to anything. I just need a couple of hands. I need class participation here. What are you guys passionate about? Okay. Go away. All right. What do you got?
I am passionate about karate.
Cheer. Makeup. Love it. Perfect. Thank you. All right, all the way in the back. Yell it out. Ben, that sounds like your arena. I'll let you handle that one. All right. Anybody else all the way back here?
Beating Brawlin in fantasy football.
I'm here for that one. All right, right here. Preaching the gospel to kids. I like it. Okay. We'll go last one right here. Music. Love it. Simple. All right. That's really good. So we have lots of things in our lives that we're passionate about, and they're different for everybody, right? Some people are passionate about sports. Some people can't stand sports, right? We have different passions in our lives. So follow-up question to that, what are you not passionate? What do you just not really care about? Again, class participation. Go ahead, raise your hand. What do you just not really care about? Go, KJ.
Video games.
Love it. All right. All the way in the back. Politics. Okay, Brawlin.
Losing to Sebastian.
Okay, losing to Sebastian. I like it.
Sushi.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, all the way over here.
Change.
Amen. That's very true. But again, we have these things that we are passionate about, and we have these things that we're just not really passionate about. So I have one last question for you guys, and it's this. Is there anything in your life that maybe you should be passionate about, but for some reason, you just don't seem to care? You're kind of meh about it, right? Like, you know, like, okay, maybe I should be passionate about this, but for some reason, I just can't motivate myself. For some reason, I just find it really easy to check out and not care as much as I should. That's where we're going to find ourselves in our story today. Oftentimes, we have things in our lives that we know we should care about, but we struggle to care about it. And the characters we're going to read about today are in that exact place. So let's set up our story. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're with Jesus. We're in the final hours before Jesus is arrested and taken to the cross. And with Jesus are his 12 disciples. You guys know this. And something happens in this story that these disciples of Jesus, these guys who have done ministry with Jesus, they know what's happening, they know what's coming, and yet they're kind of meh right now. Let's go ahead and let's read the story. Here's what it says. It'll be on the screen. It says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and he found the disciples asleep and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even just 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus, he left them again and he prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep, have your rest, but know the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And we find ourselves in this story at a really, really interesting point. We tend to focus on, when we read this story, on Jesus and his arrest and his judgment and his crucifixion and him rising from the dead. And that's all extremely, extremely important. But I want to look at some other characters in this story. I want to look at these disciples for a second. Now, you guys are in Bible college. You guys are learning and spending time growing in your faith and in your knowledge of the Bible and Jesus. And you are learning exactly what these disciples were learning. They were on the forefront of history with Jesus doing ministry, and yet when the time came for the biggest moment of history to happen, and that's Jesus' death and resurrection, they fell asleep. Now, you guys can ask your professors this one, but I had a reputation at Bible college. I fell asleep in some classes. I'll just look around, make some eyes with professors, right? Like, that happened. We can admit that. I'm removed now. But, you know, I'd like to say when I read this story, I'd be better than the disciples. I wouldn't fall asleep. I'd be praying with Jesus. I'd be agonizing with Jesus. I'd be there supporting him in what he's doing. But when I was presented with the opportunity to get as close to that as I can, and that's here at Bible college, what did I do? I fell asleep. The disciples, they fell asleep. These guys that are with Jesus, you guys right here in Bible college, are on the forefront of preaching the gospel, of furthering Jesus' church, of bringing people to know him. People, your entire life will look to you as models of the church. People look to the disciples as models of Jesus. And yet, they fell asleep. They were kind of just meh in their relationship with Jesus, in their faith in this moment. Again, usually when we read this passage, when we talk about this part of history, we really focus on Jesus. We really focus on what he was doing, the fact that he was going to the cross, the fact that he was crucified, the result of all of that, the forgiveness of our sins, and that is amazing and powerful and important. But if we can't even sit and pray with Jesus for an hour, it doesn't even matter. Jesus is so important and so powerful that he deserves everything that we are. Let me explain this a little bit further. We had 12 disciples. We have Peter, Andrew, James, John, who are all fishermen. They gave up their business, their way of making money. Then we have Matthew, who is a tax collector, honestly, probably filthy rich, gave it all up to follow Jesus. Then we have Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, another James, who's the brother of Jesus, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. All these men gave up everything they had to pursue Jesus. 3 years they spent with Jesus, doing ministry, preaching the gospel, watching some of the most miraculous things that ever happened in history. And yet, when it came push to shove, they were in the garden and they fell asleep. Their passion, for some reason, was just not there. The disciples who walked with Jesus, who knew Jesus, who lived with Jesus, fell asleep. And so my question to you is this, is what are you doing here at Bible college to combat that? Are you falling asleep, or are you living out your faith? Are you showing that Jesus is what you're passionate about? I asked you that question at the beginning, what are you passionate about? And I want to talk about, I'm reading a book right now. If you were in Jacob King's youth ministry class, you probably read this. It's called Youth Ministry in a Post-Christian World. It's written by a guy named Brock, okay? If you read it, in that book, Brock talked about, he defined this faith for middle schoolers and high schoolers. Now, I bring up middle school because I work with middle school, and to me, they're the best students in the world, even if they're craziest. But he brought up this term to define the faith that he thought middle schoolers had. It's called this, moralistic, therapeutic deism. And what I mean by that is this. We have moralism, okay? You know what that means. That means to be good, You have therapeutic, which means to feel good, and you have deism, which means God, but more like God is just in the background. Now, I want you to think for a moment, if you work with students or kids or anybody, or even honestly, just for a second, think about yourself. And is your Christian faith defined this way? Can you look at your own life and say, is my faith true Christian faith, or is it just moralistic, therapeutic deism? Do I care about being good? Check. Do I care about feeling good, getting what I want, making sure that I'm comfortable, that I have what I need in my life? Therapeutic, check. And is God just kind of there? It's really interesting. I was talking with a student last night after youth group who got kicked out of a small group, oddly enough, because, you know, that happens every week. And I was just like, dude, like, what do we, he's been around for a while. I have a good relationship with him. I know him. And I was like, what are we doing here? Like, we literally, tonight, I preached a message that was talking about, like, hey, don't just let your faith be on the sideline. Let it be focal and important. And so what are we doing? You're just goofing off. And he's like, honestly, this is where I'm at. This is what I've been taught. This is what I know. This is what church leaders have taught me my entire life, my youth pastor, my lead pastor. This is all I know. And it really kind of struck me a little bit, and I had to look at myself and say, is this what I'm teaching? Am I teaching simply the Bible in a way that is moralistic, therapeutic deism, or am I teaching the gospel of Jesus with the power that the gospel of Jesus commands? I want you guys to start to ask yourself that same question. As you walk through this series of knowing Jesus, of being simply in Jesus' presence, you have a responsibility to know the gospel and to convey that gospel to the world around you. Again, I ask you that question, what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about Jesus, or is Jesus just in the background? Are you passionate about spreading the gospel, or is that someone else's job? Are you passionate about being a disciple of Jesus, or are you content with sitting on the sidelines? Because the truth is, you can have a choice here. If you just want your faith to be moralistic theistic deism, that's therapeutic, sorry, that's fine. But don't preach the gospel in his local church. If you're going to be in ministry, whether it's missions across the globe, whether it's missions right here in the U.S., whether it's a youth pastor, a kids pastor, a preaching pastor, whatever you end up doing when you leave this place, make sure it's preaching the true gospel of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we know that the gospel of Jesus matters, and it deserves our full attention and all of our passion. It deserves everything that we are. And everything we have to give. It's not good enough to just know the Bible. It's not good enough just to speak well on stage. It's not good enough just to plan amazing youth events or kids events. It's not good enough. What's good enough is being sold out to Jesus, having your faith challenged every single day, and choosing to live in a way that's going to model him and not fall asleep. That's what's important here. As you guys get ready to leave here, I really want you guys to just know this. And again, I'm preaching to myself here. Like I said, in Bible college, I fell asleep. I still go to church on Saturday nights, and sometimes I still struggle. I love Steve Crane, but man, I sometimes struggle to stay awake during church. It's fair. It happens. But challenge yourself and know that the gospel of Jesus matters. Know that it deserves your full attention and all of your passion. Let me pray for you guys. God, just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today to speak to these students, God. Thank you for their willingness to learn, their willingness to be in this place to learn and to grow in their knowledge and their ability to live out your gospel. God, I pray that while they're here in these walls, that they'll be equipped in the knowledge of the Bible, the ability and the skills they need to teach the Bible. But more than that, God, I pray that they will know you, and that passion that is inside of them will flow out in a way of love, grace, compassion, and justice to the world around them. God, we are just so thankful to be in your presence, and we love you so much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.